Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz and it's August 5th, 2019. It seems like, oh my gosh, it's the 8th month of the year and we're deep into summer here in the Northern Hemisphere. So today we're going to be talking about clearing our spaces and I'm going to look briefly at feng shui, about space clearing and a modality I created called space cooperating, why you want to clear your spaces and how that helps you to be your best, and a real frank conversation on what that means and why we haven't been doing it and why we should be doing it and what our homes have to say about it, including our businesses. So a lot to cover today. If you have a question about your space, want to ask a quick question or share your experiences with clearing your space, you're welcome to call in to 202-570-7057. If you're shy or you're listening to this in the archives and you have a question you'd like me to cover on the show, please email me at my website, robinfritz.com. It's robinfritz.com. And let me know what that is. Every once in a while, I devote a show to people's questions, and I'm happy to cover those. So today, again, we're going to be talking about clearing our spaces, what that means, what we need to consider when we do that, and what it means for our spaces themselves, which is part of the problem with the other modalities of space clearing that I'm familiar with. But before we get really deep into the show, I'd like to start with a quick grounding and balancing meditation, if you will, with a crystal phalan. Phalan is a citrine Lemurian quartz, an ancient power crystal. And imagine that you're connecting to him in the way that your intuition works most strongly. So during this hour, especially here as we get grounded and balanced together, you may see pictures, you may hear him chat with you, you may feel his energy, or simply know that you're connected to him in this hour. This is your time to find practical ways of developing your intuition and supporting mind, body, and spirit. So take your attention to the top of your head, relax in your chair, and as you do that, imagine mind, body, and spirit coming together as you breathe down your body from the top of your head to your bottom of your feet and back up again. So breathing down, top of your head, down your face, your neck, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. Just feel the cares of the day washing away and giving yourself this time for yourself. And now breathing up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your throat, your face, and the top of your head. And imagine, if you will, that you're connecting to this gold light that comes from Phalan, and imagine it going straight to your heart, and with each beat of your heart flooding your body with healthy energy. And energy is really what life is all about, and especially when we start to talk about something like space clearing, because we're talking about moving energy. So Today, we're talking about clearing our spaces from feng shui to space clearing to space cooperating. So the point is never to overlook your home and business spaces, because they're key places where we spend a lot of time, and they need to be healthy and balanced so that we can be healthy and balanced. So it's a mutual give and take there. And while we're looking to be our best, we're also looking to help our spaces be their best and to form this cooperative relationship. It's part of my view of the world that I learned by working with non-humans, from weather systems to homes to businesses and cars and animals and trees and whatever it is out there. Everything is alive. Everything has a soul, has consciousness, has a job to do, a choice about doing that job, and opinions. And really, you see that a lot with your animal family and how they respond to you. But the next biggest thing in learning to live and develop ourselves in the world is our relationship with our homes and our business spaces. So what does that mean, and what does space clearing mean? So imagine, if you will, and just thinking about a picture of the planet in your head, and imagine that the planet is a big ball of energy, and energy moves. Imagine the wind blowing, and energy moves. And every time the wind hits the side of a building or a tree or anything that blocks the wind from moving, the wind changes in that spot. It may slow down, it may be stopped entirely, it may knock over what's in its way. For example, I live in a windy place in Seattle, Washington, and out in front of my building, the wind has a pretty clear path blowing up from up from the south, down from the north. We get it both directions here, and it's wide open because the ocean is out there. There are no real buildings, huge city blocks blocking that wind. But in the back of my building, there's a hillside and there's neighbors on either side, and it's much calmer on a stormy day. So when it's really stormy, my habit in the last 20 years has been to take my dogs out in the back where they're safe to do their thing in a big windstorm. So think about that. Think about wind and energy and the idea of blocking wind. And that translates into kind of an esoteric concept, but it translates into how energy moves in a space. And it's a real good visual for you to imagine what happens in the spaces that we live and work in. So we have four walls to our home, so to speak. Four walls to our businesses. We may have a cubicle in a business or an office in a business, but either way, those are places where energy flows. And imagine that if it were wind, it's flowing into each room, being blocked by a wall, all kinds of things. But energy is obviously more diffuse than wind, but the idea of energy getting blocked means that in one way or another, energy gets stuck. Now, we as humans have known this throughout the ages, but here in Western society, we've forgotten so much over the last 300 years or so that we've forgotten that we've had past lives, we've forgotten that our souls are eternal, we've forgotten to have a give and take relationship with the things around us, from trees to nature itself to our homes and our spaces. And that's why people are having issues with their spaces, or more reasons why people are having issues with the spaces, because we haven't worked to develop that relationship that we would have with other people or with our animal family members. And we our need to support those spaces and accepting their support of us has just disappeared from our consciousness. So it's a passion of mine to reconnect humans with non-humans. So when we talk about space clearing, one of the things people immediately leap to is the idea of feng shui. Now, I will have to say up front that I do not do feng shui, and I probably will never do feng shui, because I found a different way of connecting with spaces. But a lot of people value it and have found value in it over time. And it is an ancient practice, comes out of Eastern cultures, is the name. And feng shui, the name, is translated as wind and water. So the idea of good, healthy feng shui is to bring good health and good fortune into your space. It's an ancient idea. It's helped people connect to the land around them and have respect for the planet as a living being and as all beings on it as being alive. So in that sense, it's something to take a look at, and just in terms of understanding our history. It's also, as they call the yin and yang, or yin and yang of life, the balance of masculine and feminine. So I'm not going to go into feng shui in a whole lot of depth because, as I said, I don't practice it. I know one person, who is completely devoted to this practice, and I am totally in awe of her and amazed at how much that has transformed her life and how much she helps other people in their lives. And so there are people out there who practice feng shui and do great things, and all the more power to them for doing that, because there are many ways of living in the world and many ways of contributing to a healthy, balanced planet. But my problem with feng shui is that a lot of people bring it down to a rote thing. So they have the bagua and the rituals and methodologies and the map of your space. And so if one thing in a space is in the wrong space, in the wrong place, then you've messed up your life, or you've messed up your space. Or if you don't have end tables on either side of the bed, then you're not inviting romance into your life. And I just don't operate on that wavelength. For those who do, the comfort of having rules like that could be useful, as long as it doesn't keep you from really getting down into exploring yourself and your space as living entities. So let me explain that a little bit more. A lot of times, people who practice feng shui come into my house and like scream because I have color everywhere. Well, color is energizing for me. And a lot of people look at feng shui and think it all has to be white. And that's not true either. Feng shui practitioners they're honest and dedicated and skilled. And some of them spend many years developing a practice, and there are different kinds of feng shui practices. And it all means something. And that's great. One of the things that I have noticed is that I think that over time, and I'm talking about a couple thousand years, I think like feng shui goes back 3,000 years, is that people, it came down to details and symbology that means one thing and one thing only. For example, the color has to be right. Somebody told me, you need a blue pot on your deck, and I'm like, whatever, you know, that means this and something else means that, and water is this, and you know, that's a wealth area and that's a romance area, and that's too rigid for me. And it also doesn't fit at least Western European and American building practices, as we've never paid attention to feng shui or even building buildings on top of portals, which I have discovered a lot in my space clearing practice. So the object then is, the situation with feng shui as I see it is, once I developed my own space clearing practice and really started working with the different beings on the land and started talking with them and finding out what they thought, is that the people who originally developed feng shui were actually having the same kind of relationship with the land. They were out there consulting with the land, finding out what the land needed, helping people situate buildings on properties that were okay to develop on, as opposed to properties that weren't okay to develop property on. And they were trying to help people create a real relationship with the land. Over the years, it got divided into this: you have to do this this way and that way. Now, it isn't feng shui only that has a problem with symbology, as I see it. There are mediums, there are intuitives. They work with things and they see red roses and they say, well, a red rose means this and a white rose means that. And if you see somebody holding this, that means that. And I don't work that way, because I don't think symbology can be defined for everyone. So if somebody's going to tell me red roses always mean love, I'm going to challenge that. So working with clients, if a dead loved one shows up with a bouquet of red roses, I'm going to say, wow, your loved one is here with a bouquet of red roses. What does that mean to you? Because what it means to somebody else in their symbology has nothing to do with what that means to you right then and there. So that's my issue with feng shui, is maybe it's too rigid in defining what things are and how what they mean to people. But if it's a start to help you feel comfortable in your space and you find value in it, then go for it, right? Go for it, because we're all here trying to grow ourselves the best way possible, trying to learn new things and different things, and trying to be as comfortable as we can in the space. But what are our spaces up to? How do we find out about that? And then what does space clearing mean? Because a lot of people mix up feng shui and space clearing, and they're two different things. A lot of people who practice feng shui do not practice space clearing, or they practice it in a different way that doesn't actually clear the space. So after the break, we're going to talk about space clearing. I'm going to give you some stories and my modality and why I use it. So hang on if you've got a question. 202-570-7057.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out, and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about space clearing. Feng shui, space clearing, space cooperating, why you would do it and what it is. Okay, so a lot of backstory there. Space clearing is a way of clearing out stuck energies. So if you're vacuuming your house and you're dusting your house, what you're trying to do is pick up dirt, get rid of dirt. And space clearing is to get rid of stuck energies, which essentially you can think of as dirty energy. Not bad energy, just stuck energy. For a space to feel good, to be as healthy and balanced as possible, just like for us to be as healthy as and balanced as possible, we need energy to move smoothly through us and through our spaces. So space clearing has been around as long as humans have in terms of modalities. It started picking up here in Western culture, you know, last 50 years or so, maybe not quite that far back. And, you know, people have written books about it. People have their own established methodology that they get to charge a nice chunk of money to train people how to do it. And then there's very simple ways that we can all learn to clear our spaces. And how you do that is really up to you and how you feel in your space. I don't think that there needs to be a set way of clearing a space. I think you need to do what makes you feel comfortable. Explore things and figure out what works for you. Some people like to open a space, create sacred space, and dance and sing and beat drums, burn incense, use essential oils and crystals, whatever. Others like to be very quiet and move through a space and light a candle or whatever. So we're talking about experimenting and finding out what works for you. The thing that feng shui today and space clearing have in common is that they force the space to do what you want it to do. In other words, they're forcing energy to accommodate you. In one way or another, I mean, you can be as blunt about it as you will. Now, if someone were going to come to you and say to you, do this because I told you to do this, and I'm putting this in this space in this house because that's my money center, and you're going to make money for me, and or clearing a space and going in there and feeling the space and deciding that the energy isn't right, and so you force a change on the space. Well, if you're anything like me, and I'm sure you are, you're not going to react very well to having somebody push you around. And that's the same thing that happens to a space where it's been forced to make a change, whether it's feng shui or space clearing. And that's the problem I see with the other methodologies that are out there. The difference is, truly, what the people who originally created feng shui centuries ago knew is that all the spaces are alive. They all have souls. They have consciousness, jobs to do, responsibilities, choice, opinions. So when I started noticing this, I realized that either I was going crazy or I was onto something. I decided not to be crazy because that's like too much work. So I decided to figure out what it was that I was getting from the houses and that I was talking with, and then eventually businesses. And it was that I could have a conversation with these spaces, just like I can have a conversation with an animal, or as I can tune into people in a session and help them intuitively understand what's going on in their life. Because I didn't make judgments on what was conscious or not. I didn't make judgments on what was intelligent or not. I simply said, hey, my name's Robin. Would you like to have a conversation? And we went from there. Granted, I fell into it because I thought what I was doing was buying a new home. And my real estate agent finally, after ripping all her hair out, said, hey, you're not buying a new home. You're hearing them. And I was figuring that out finally, because I was not only hearing houses at that point in my search for a new home, I was hearing all my dead relatives commenting on the houses that I was going in. I'm like, what the heck? And so I'd start to have a conversation. One house that I went up to was a bright, sunny day, a hot day like it is right now here in Seattle. Not a breath of air. And as we walked up to the open door that my real estate agent had opened the door slammed shut in my face. Well, my agent wanted to hightail it out of there. She was freaked out. And I'm like, I want to find out what's going on. And so the house drew my attention to everything that was wrong about it. Like, it was an old house, so the ceiling dipped a little spot. Or it was dark somewhere else, or something like that. And I said, well, I'm here to say hello. What's your thing? What's going on here? And it said, I don't want you. I want my people to stay. Go away. And I said, okay, I'm going to go away, but you should have that conversation with your people. So here's the thing. We need to have clear spaces. We need to keep ourselves clear. Why? Because not only is everything alive out there and everything has a soul, but everything's trying to grow its soul, right? In one way or the other. Granted, we look around at people we might know, you know, in our own lives, or we know on the public stage, and we think, oh my God, that person's doomed. They're so far from having even basic common sense or intelligence about what they're doing in their life. That's, you know, that's our judgment on them. We have no idea what's really going on at the soul level, and they'll find out for themselves once they die, because you're going to wake up dead and realize, huh, well, there's some things I probably should have thought a little bit more about while I was alive, like what the hell I was doing there in the first place. And when you're buying a home, you're living in a home, when you're at work, your space is alive and waiting to support you and waiting to be supported by you. And that makes a huge difference in how comfortable you are, as well as in how successful you are. So we all want to be successful, right? So why don't we start in an area that nobody ever thinks about, and that's creating a healthy relationship with a healthy space. And that's where the modality of space clearing that I use comes in, called space cooperating. So the difference is, in space cooperating, what I do is I talk to the space. And I sit down with it and I say, well, here's a list of questions from the people that asked me to help you clear yourself. And what do you think? And now tell me what you need and want. And then I'll go back to the people and I'll say, well, the space says this and the space says that. And how do we compromise? How do we come together? How do we negotiate change? And then we go back and forth in the space and the people decide what they're going to do together. And then the actual clearing takes place. So there's a huge conversation that happens up front with the space, which no other space clearing methodology even thinks about, right? Which is why they don't work. And because you can smudge a place to doomsday, but if something's there looking at you and not really interested in changing, then nothing's going to happen. Because the tools of space clearing are simply tools that make us feel better. They're not really doing anything but making us feel better. They're not necessarily clearing the space. So let me explain, give you some examples now about what that means and how that works. So lately I have been doing a lot of space clearings in Seattle. Working with real estate agents, working with clients, because spaces aren't selling instantly like they were the last few years. They're sitting around for a little while on the market, and then people are getting worried. So one of the reasons I wanted to have this conversation on my show today is some of the things that I've heard doing some of these space clearings recently. For example, someone called me and said, wow, we've tried everything to sell this condo. We've reduced the price. We've smudged. We've done this. We've done that. And finally, you know, we've had three offers, and one offer disappeared at 2 o'clock in the morning. Guy made an offer that evening, 2 o'clock in the morning, woke up and said, wow, I can't do this. So we think we need an expert. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if I call myself an expert, but I do know how to work with a space and help it clear and help it decide what it wants to do. So I said, fine, let's get together. And they were going to bring the owner. So when I sat down to talk with the space, I introduced myself. I said, you know, that its owner needed to move, as actually had moved. And we were going to talk about that when they came. But the house needed to call a new owner to it. It needed to open itself up and invite a new owner. Because that owner was determined and had already made up his mind that he was gone. So, you know, in this case, and buy and sell are hard things for space clearing, because you can negotiate up to a certain point, but the end result is that humans are still going to go and do what they want to do. And so they have to find a way to make a clean but kind break with the space and help the space find its new footings and new relationships. So our homes are created to nurture and support us. And by extension, our businesses do that as well, in a focused make money, pay the bills kind of way. Our homes are there to also give us restful sleep, help us create healthy food, have a place to bond with family and friends. So there's a wider dispersal of energy, so to speak, and of energy usage in a home than in a business, which tends to be more focused on the bottom line, so to speak. So in this particular condo, I said, well, this person has moved on, and can you tell me what you want? Can you tell me what's going on with you? And it really liked this person, but it also realized that this person wasn't coming back. And one of the things I say to them is, you know, most homes, the buildings themselves live longer than many people do, and people move around. They don't stay with one place anymore like they used to, at least here in Western culture. So in the course of your lifetime, you will have several different owners, maybe people who are living here for one reason or another. And so your job is to create a home space for them, and their space, their job is to create a nurturing environment that supports your growth too, as a soul and as a house, as that's the body that you chose for this lifetime. So this home was telling me that it couldn't conceive of somebody else owning it, because this person was its first owner. Basically, it was new, didn't know what to do with a different person. So that's clue number one, right, that I'm dealing with something that just may have experienced rentals, but was really renters, but was really tied to this person who owned it. And when you own a property, there is an energetic tie there that is very, very strong. So I said, okay, I understand. So he's coming and we'll help you say goodbye to each other. It also led me to believe that there was something that he had left in the space that was very special, and that he, because he'd left it, the house assumed he was coming back. Okay, so I had some information to go into the clearing with. So we're at the clearing. They had provided the things that I asked for, a candle, some sea salt, and a gift for the house, a parting gift for the house, which is really all you need is like a ribbon. And those are physical items that the house can see, that you can see, especially humans. We have to see something physical. And space clearing is really on this energy level. I can wave my hands around or do whatever I do, but, you know, it's unless you can feel it, or talk with things like I do, or something, you're just not going to experience it unless you have those physical things there in front of you. Well, it turned out that both the owner and the real estate agent were very strong on feelings. So as we moved through the condo and I cleared the rooms, I had them step out of the room, then I clear the room and have them come back in. They could tell the difference. The real estate agent described it as, the place feels bigger now. Somehow bigger than it was, and neutral was a good description, because what I had done was clear out the owner's energies after talking back and forth with him and the space, explained to him that the space considered it its first person and didn't want to let go. So I had him explain out loud why he was moving and to thank the space for providing this beautiful home for him for the period of time that he was there. But it was time for him to move to a different place. And he could no longer rent it out because he needed the money from the sale of the place to support the new place he was in. Logical, but also very considerate and loving. Like, you were wonderful to me, and I'm sorry, but I have to move on. And please call a new place, new owners to you so that you can celebrate and learn and grow with them. So I said, well, do you have a safe here or something that like a time capsule or something that you put in the walls of this place? Because it feels like you left some, it says to me that you left something of yourself behind, and I don't know what that is. And he's looking at me and he's like, no, nothing like that. So we're going through the space and we get to the den. And he said, this den I created from just blank walls. And he said, I designed and built this whole desk and wall system in here in this perfect office. And I went, that's it. That's the piece of you that you left behind. This thing, this den area that you created, all of this built-ins, and you spent your time there dreaming of your future, working on your business, you know, paying your bills, daydreaming about your future. That was the part of him that he had left behind in the space. And his eyes got wide and he goes, oh my gosh, that makes complete sense. So we spent a little bit of extra time in that space, thanking it for supporting him there and saying, you can draw someone else here to celebrate with you. After the break, I'll tell you what happened next, and I'll give you some tips on clearing your space for yourself. Hang on, we'll be right back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and today we're talking about the different modalities of space clearing, feng shui, and space cooperating. So space cooperating, the modality I created, talks with the space to find out what it needs and wants, to tell the space what its people need and want, and then work with the people and the space to mesh their needs and wants as well as they can. So you can do a space clearing in any situation. When you're remodeling, the change of seasons, after you pay your bills every month, when a trauma has occurred in your family, or to celebrate a milestone, a birthday in my family, birthdays, adoption days for my animals, the days that they died, whatever you want to celebrate, it's there. So back to this condo. So I had this condo. They hadn't been able to sell it. The three offers they'd had fallen through. I have the owner there, and I've discovered that this special place, this what I thought was maybe a time capsule or a safe in the house, was actually this amazing den that he created, with this beautiful built-in wall unit and desk and bookshelves, and just really personalized to his personal taste. And he had spent so much time there that it was very special to the home. So as we went through all that, and I teach all my clients how their intuition works so that they could understand what they were getting when we were doing the clearing. So both the agent and the owner were very strong on feeling, so they could feel the house shifting and getting ready to say goodbye and start to welcome a new family in. And as we were leaving, and I had him say goodbye to the house and to thank it again. And then as we were walking out the door, he goes, "Well, goodbye, house. I'll be back to say goodbye when you sell." And I go, "No, stop right there. You're not coming back here. You're never coming back here. You can't come back into the space, because even though the space knows that you're leaving, it's going to hold out if it thinks you're going to come back again. That's just the way we are. We don't want to break up, right? And it's hard. It's hard for those." He says, "Okay, I'm not coming back. And thank you, space, for being my home." And it was very emotional. And we were all three drained as we left. They got two offers that night. And the condo sold in 6 hours. And it did sell. I mean, they didn't back out. They had two great offers. And the condo now has a happy new family in it. And completely different from what it had then. So the condo is off on its new adventure, and the owner is happy and settled in his new adventure, and we had a successful clearing. And why did we have a successful clearing? Because we considered the feelings, we considered the soul needs, and the emotional, basically the mind, body, spirit needs of the space itself. And that's where all the other modalities of clearing, of cooperating, or learning to work with spaces fall down. They don't really completely recognize the spaces as being alive and as having feelings and having contributions to make, and the people living in them miss out, and the people clearing them miss out. And so you can go into a space and you can ring all the bells you want and light all the candles and smudge it to doomsday, but if you don't find out what that space needs and wants, it's not going to be a successful clearing. On top of that, if the space is haunted, and a lot of spaces I go into are, then that thing that is haunting the space is going to look at you and go like, "Oh my God, they're waving like some sage in my face. Big deal." And trust me, that is not a pleasant experience. And I have a partner, Fallon, the citrine lemurian quartz, is an extremely powerful ancient power crystal. So call it an ace in the hole, if you will. But when I know what I'm facing in a clearing, I actually have Fallon clear it before I even show up. We do some of that initial clearing here. And if I feel like I need to, then I actually confront that being that's haunting the space when I'm there in the space. But I make sure I'm really well protected. Nothing comes into me, and I make sure if people are with me that they're protected. And if I don't feel it's safe for some reason for the people to be there, then I'll do it by myself. And I've had cases where I have cleared it remotely because I didn't consider it safe to go. And that's just the way it is. And we have a lot of that in Seattle because Seattle's got these whole open portal kind of things. And I know you're going like, what the hell are you talking about, Robin? It's okay. There are portals to different dimensions all over the planet. And a lot of them happen to be here in Seattle. And so there's a lot of unstable ground here. Not necessarily related to the 1,000 earthquakes that we get a year here, little tiny ones that most people never feel, but all part of the things to consider. So if you're going to clear your space, what are you going to need? Okay, so clearly, the first thing you really need to do is to as I talked about on Facebook Live this morning, which you can look up at the Humanity Healing page there on Facebook, is to set your intention and to really decide what is the intention for you. And I'm not talking about quantum physics where you think your idea is going to change the face of reality because that's completely bunk and it's going to screw you up royally. I'm talking about setting an intention for yourself. What do you need and want from that particular space clearing? What do you need and want from that space? Are you just doing a monthly clearing of your space? Are you welcoming a new family member? Are you sending a kid off to college? Is somebody died? Is somebody transitioning in or out of a relationship? Are you selling? Are you remodeling? Are you altering paint and wall colors and all of that kind of thing? Changing walls or appliances or whatever? Those are all good opportunities to clear your space. So what is your intention for the space? And be really specific about that, because I find myself, you know, wandering all over the place like, oh, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do there? And you get caught up in the minutiae of daily life. You know, so what am I going to get at the grocery store as opposed to I'm going to the grocery store. So I'm doing this space clearing. Here's my intention. We're going to remodel, or I'm going to sell, or I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. Set that intention. Then tell the house, the space, or your business. Now, people say, okay, going to go off on a small tangent here, but people say, well, I can't clear my cubicle because I don't own the office space. And I'm like, where did anybody ever get that crazy idea? If you're occupying a cubicle in an office or an office in an office, it's your space. It's the space you're doing your work in. So, of course, you can clear it, and you better clear it, or it's going to have all kinds of energies from different things that are going to mess you up, and you're not going to be your best at work. And remember, you know, we can all be selfish. Clearing our spaces is helping us, right? It's also helping our spaces, of course, because otherwise it's not going to be successful. But you're out there trying to help yourself, right? You're going to grow your soul, and by extension, you're going to help your space grow its soul. So who cares who owns the building? You occupy the space in that business, and you need it clear. Even if you're on a retail floor and you're walking around, you're still part of that space, so you can keep it clear around you. So a lot of people have rituals and tools. You can create your own rituals and tools. You can have a mantra that you say when you start it. I say I'm opening sacred space and I'm calling the spiritual teams of this client and this agent and the house itself or whatever it is, and my crystal partner and what the animals in the house or whatever. And at the end, when I close the space down and thank everyone for being there, what happens in between is depends on what the goal is for that particular clearing. Now, a lot of people will use all kinds of different incenses, sprays, essential oils, flowers, candles, feathers, whatever. And none of that is really necessary. What's necessary is the ability of the person doing the clearing to move energy in a healthy way that will clear the space and the people in it. That's what matters. I use some sprays and I use a bell, but I use it for the benefit of people who need to have something physical to hang their hat on, so to speak, while they're undergoing probably the first space clearing ever. And it also wakes the space up, you know, because you could say that you're going to clear the space till doomsday, nothing ever happens. But when you have these rituals and tools, the space is like, oh, something's happening here. It's party time, whatever. So if it makes you feel good to include those rituals and those tools, then by all means use them, but consider them partners, not things that you manipulate. So whenever I get ready to go do a clearing, I pack up crystals and I sit down with my crystals and I'm like, okay, I'm doing this today. This is what I'm doing. And who wants to go along? And I can tell what's going to happen during the clearing by which of the crystals pops up and says they're going along. So I can tell that there's something going to happen with the owner who's going to be there, and what clearing I can help the owner accomplish because this particular crystal stepped up to the plate and offered to come. So I'm not fond of sage. I like sage in my food, not in clearing. A lot of people think, well, that's the only thing you can clear with. Palo Santo is a good one. I'm actually creating my own line of sprays because, hello, I've got Fallon, and I'd like to leave a little bit more of him behind, although I give every client a little gift of a sea salt mixture I make with sea salt lavender, and then I sit Fallon in it until he says it's ready. And then I have a little Tibetan singing bowl that fits in the palm of my hand, and I've used that by ringing it. If it rings kind of wobbly, then I know there's something I missed in that space, and I'll go back and take a second look. Those are the methods that I have used to create successful clearings on the spaces that either I live and work in or that people have hired me for. You do whatever works for you and experiment and have fun with it while inviting the space to tell you what it would like. I mean, some spaces don't like certain fragrances, so find out what they like. And in your home, my annual lavender shipment just arrived. So I've got lavender drying all over the house, and that's my home's idea that, oh, okay, we're entering, you know, the third quarter of the year. It's that time of year, and that this is the additional clearing things. And I keep lavender and sea salt around my house, as well as crystals and Himalayan salt lamps, all things to remind me that this is the change that I chose in my life. And it's all part of clearing your spaces. So have some fun with clearing your space. Spaces are hilarious. They are needy. They're there to support us. They're there learning to support themselves. And you can join in that, and you can learn and grow together. And it really will enrich your life. If you have any questions on that, you know, email me. Let me know at robinfritz.com. That's robinfritz.com. And go ahead and try the other methods, you know, play with feng shui, play with space clearing, play with actually having a conversation with the space, and let me know what your experience is, and share it with other people, because the more that we take these old things and bring it forward into our culture, the better off we're going to be, the better off the world around us is going to be. And gosh, it's dark out there, people. And we need love, and we need light in the world, and keeping yourself and your space clear, and you clearing yourself at the same time. I always clear my clients at the same time as I clear their spaces. It makes a difference in the world. So go out and make your own difference in the world, and thank you for joining me today. On upcoming shows, I'm going to talk about how to be a medium. I'm going to talk about what's really going on in the world that I've never talked about before. Going to talk a lot about what happens after we die in support of the publication of my book on the afterlife. I'm here the first and third Mondays of the month. And as we close down today, cross your hands on your heart, take a deep breath, breathe in, and you can release that connection to Fallon and bring just positive, healthy energy to yourself. It's all around you. It's all flowing through you every day. Consciously invite that healthy energy to fill you up. And you can hold your hands out and invite that to fill the space around you. It's symbolic because it's already doing that. And then cross your hands on your heart, giving yourself support and strength for the coming week. Thank you for being here. We will see you the third week of August. Take care.